beat and a comfy chat, me comfy, me get a pen. Highest green, a weed, a dunt, a fee, we rushing.
The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Brought to you by the National Cannabis Coalition.
Yeah, I hear you. You had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it.
All right. Welcome, everybody. It is Tuesday, June 19th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We are here live at Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon, the home of rain. It was rainy today. You know, it was middle of June here, and I went out walking, and I thought, I'll just put some shorts on and go take a walk with the dog. No, rainy and gloomy, but we're not rainy and gloomy. We got a lot of fun for you today. Starting, we're going to see right over there in the new newly redesigned Pirates Cove, we've got Ganja John hanging out. How you doing, Ganja John?
What's up, Russ? How are you?
I'm fantastic. We're a little less stressed out because now all the board is dialed in and the studio's all cleaned up. It's feeling good, huh?
Yeah, feels great.
All right. We'll eventually get that. John's got a new mixing deck, too, that we'll play around with. Can you show him that?
I do.
Get that over there?
Where'd it go?
One of them little DJ things. We had a lot of fun with that over at John's place on Saturday night. Actually, I should say I did, because
Russ sat in front of it for a couple hours.
I was beat mixing.
It was a lot of fun. And
It was fun. It was a good time.
We've also got Wiz Calico hanging out over there on camera, too.
Aloha. Glad to be here. Of course, Mother Nature's just trying to get the last bit of rain out before we say goodbye to spring. So it'll be sunny soon enough.
That's what it is. Okay. Well, now that's making a lot more sense. Oh, geez. Yeah.
You're a positive kid.
Yeah. Also, we've got in our virtual studio, Cannabis Carrie, Carrie Gallagher, our news director. How you doing, Carrie?
Oh, Carrie.
Do we have Carrie?
I'm sorry. I'm doing great, you guys. No rain here. Come on out to the coast.
And you sound great.
Multitasking?
Thank you.
Yes, you sound awesome.
Yes, I am multitasking. I was on the phone with the city attorney's office down in San Diego, but that's okay.
Getting
I'll
us the latest
back.
News. Carrie's our news
Trying,
director, of
working
course.
Working on it.
Bringing us the Daily Cannabis Chronicle, which you can subscribe to at RadicalRust.com. And what do we have in the news headlines today?
Well, today we've got a story about a large school of square groupers swimming around off the coast of California. I'll bring that to you. Also, we're going to talk about that decrim bill on the East Coast and another ordinance on the West Coast.
All right. We'll get to all of that right after this first break. And then for our 20 after break, we've got Electric Tuesday music. And Wiz Calico is going to tackle this one. What do we got for Electric Tuesday?
Well, you know, there's this this pretty well-known electric musician known as Skrillex, who's makes a round or, you know, his rounds on the circles. And a Pimpernel, this small band that's trying to get on the Warped Tour, performed a live performance of this, you know, electric song. So I decided that I had to play it because it's all played with real instruments and something that blew me away.
All right, we'll check that out at 20 after. You can get your break on. And then at half past, we're continuing on with our National Cannabis Coalition Week. And John Payne is going to be joining us. He's an activist out of the state of Missouri who has got some great news for us on what's happening with legalization efforts there in the Show Me State. And then at the end of the show, time for a radical rant. I'm going to give you my take on the latest initiative results that we have gotten back here in the state of Oregon. As you know, we've got two initiatives that are vying to make the ballot. Their deadline is July 6th to be able to turn in enough registered signatures. I'll give you the breakdown of how many signatures they've gotten and my take on what having two initiatives has done to us as far as our success chances of getting anything to vote on this year. Also, we'll have hour two coming at you with Toker Talk Radio, where you can dial in at 971-533-7111. We take your calls, and we are the voice of the marijuana nation. You can be a part of it, too. Make your voice heard. Join us at ncr420.com. Give us a call, or just get into our chat room and make some new friends. It's a lot of fun here at National Cannabis Radio. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back after these messages. Please help support our sponsors.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show. Wiz Khalifa's wallet and cell phone are missing. Again. And Taco Bell's already been searched. We gotta look somewhere. Help us legalize it. Text NCC to 420-420 and send $10 to the National Cannabis Coalition. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis. The topic of marijuana is heating up the news, and the Russ Belville Show catches you up with today's latest headlines. Now, here's our senior news editor, Cannabis Carey, with the Daily Cannabis Chronicle.
We've been watching the progress of a decriminalization bill in the state of New York for a few weeks now. Ever since New York's Governor Mario Cuomo announced his plan to save the state millions and to cut the arrest rates for small amounts of marijuana possession, Mayor Cuomo planned would have eliminated what he said was, quote, unnecessary life-altering trauma of a criminal arrest, unquote. Governor Cuomo's plan was to change the law so that New York City, the marijuana arrest capital of the world, the stop-and-frisk practices of the New York City Police Department would not end in the most racist arrest rates in the country. Having less than 25 grams of marijuana is already decriminalized in the state, but having it in public view is a criminal offense worthy of an arrest. Police who routinely stop young men of color and ask them to empty their pockets would now only give a citation in case they had some marijuana in there that they had to take out. The new legislation looked poised for victory, with both New York City's Mayor Michael Bloomberg lending his support and New York City Police Commissioner Ray Kelly. But now a Republican-controlled Senate says there are much higher priorities for them to tackle in the last few days of the legislative session, and that bill is too broad to be passed in its current form. The governor had set up a deadline for the Senate to pass his decriminalization bill as Monday night, last night at midnight, and that was to comply with the state's three-day waiting period requirement that is required by the state constitution to allow the public and lawmakers to review the language of the legislation before it is voted on. This year's legislative session ends on Thursday. Now, the next legislative session doesn't begin until January. Legislative officials are predicting that no other major deals would be reached before lawmakers left the Capitol to go back to their districts and run their re-election campaigns. Republican Dan Skelos was asked about the chances of passing the marijuana decrim bill as he left the legislative chamber late last night, to which he replied, "We do not support support decriminalization. Michael Long, the chairman of the Conservative Party, had been urging the Senate to block the marijuana proposal. Gabriel Saya, the director for the state's chapter of the Drug Policy Alliance, said that he can't recall a crime bill that law enforcement backed, but the Senate and the Conservative Party still did not want to let it pass. We will keep you posted on the movement of this decrim effort in the state of New York. Sadly, those postings might not be until 2013.
You know, we just can't talk about legalization, can't talk about decriminalization. No, we can't bring that up. We brought it up. Oh, gee, look at the time. Gee, no, no more time. Got it. Time's up. We don't have enough time to go over this. Kind of worked out for us in Colorado, though, when they weren't able to bring up the DUID law in time. But yeah, you realize this is what's going on here in our legislatures. You know, while we're, you know, out here being arrested, being thrown into cages, having our lives torn apart, having our kids taken away, while that's happening to us, they've got other priorities, other things that are just more important to get to. Gosh, we just don't have the time to have to go into in-depth about something as trivial, as frivolous as marijuana decriminalization. Even though it'd save us a ton of money, even though it'd redirect police officers' time, even though marijuana decriminalization in one way or another could touch every part of the state budget in a positive way, no, we just don't have the time to get to it. Gee, just too much. We just ran out. I can't get to it. Sorry, time's up. Gotta go. No more time to be able to get to that. When are they going to realize that this is a serious issue that should be at the top, at the forefront of some of the things they're dealing with in the states? You want more money for education? Legalize and tax marijuana. You want to help people that are having health care issues in your state? Legalize medical marijuana. Get that health care to those people. You got problems with raising just overall tax revenues? We're the people out here going, hey, we'd like to be taxed. Hello, we'd like to be legal. Hello, we'd be glad to help you out here. But no, you'd rather spend money on trying to seek us out, spend money on tearing apart our gardens, spend money on booking and processing and trying us, spend money to put us in cages, to house us, to feed us, to take care of all of our medical care. It's a losing proposition for everyone involved, especially those of us who are getting arrested and having our lives destroyed. New York Assembly, you can do better than this. All of the state assemblies can do better than this, but they aren't until we force them to. It's up to you and me to get involved and put our muscle together to get together in, I know, a coalition to work on these kind of things. And you can help us. Get involved with NationalCannabisCoalition.com. Text NCC420. Get out there. Do what you can. Be a part of something bigger. Tell someone you know. Bring them along. Together we can end this prohibition. But politicians, as their nature, they're political animals. As Kerry briefly mentioned, they got to go out and run for office every 2 years when you're talking about people in most assemblies. So they're always thinking about the next election. What's going to get them votes or what's going to keep them from getting votes? We need to flex our muscle and show them that we can help them with donations. We can help them with getting votes, and we can hurt them if they don't start to recognize our point of view and our political power. But it's all up to us. Activism starts with act.
And cannabis reform activists in San Diego have conceded defeat in their effort to qualify a ballot measure in the city to permit dispensaries to operate legally. The group that spearheaded the effort, the Citizens for Patients' Rights, said that they have run out of funds to mount a successful petition campaign. They were trying to gather enough signatures to force the reluctant city council to put the measure on the ballot. California's medical marijuana law allows for collectives to operate, something that the dispensaries in California have used to stay in business in many cities in the state. San Diego does not have an ordinance that regulates dispensaries in the city, but the current city attorney, Jan Goldsmith, has declared that all dispensaries are operating illegally. San Diego was once home to over 150 medical marijuana dispensaries, but an effort from the city attorney and the U.S. Attorney for Southern California, Laura Duffy, have resulted in over 100 of those dispensaries closing up shop. There was a city ordinance in the works last summer to regulate medical marijuana that was written by the San Diego City Council, but before it could come up for a vote, medical marijuana activists who felt the ordinance was too restrictive started a signature gathering campaign to qualify a repeal and replacement of that ordinance. So rather than permit an ordinance supported by the medical marijuana community, the council simply rescinded, so no vote was needed. Despite the failure in San Diego, the group is still hoping to qualify marijuana ordinances for other Southern California cities such as Del Mar, Lemon Grove, Solana Beach, Encinita, and La Mesa. The group feels that if it can pass these ordinances in the surrounding area, that it could bring some relief to the San Diego patients.
We want to report better news than that, San Diego. We got to, you know, this is just so frustrating to see these people, good people, trying to make changes to the law and one way or another, either lack of money or lack of exposure or whatever it might be, or roadblocks thrown up by the establishment trying to keep them off the ballot. One way or another, we have all of these people that put in their time and their money and their efforts and their hopes to get these things passed. And then when they don't happen or they don't make the ballot, it's just always crushing news. So we hope things can go better in the future, and we'll keep you posted as more activism happens in the San Diego area. We know it's a tough place as far as California goes, probably the toughest place, one of the toughest places to be as far as the city government and the county government there actively opposing what you're doing there in California, in San Diego, with respect to Prop 215. San Diego has always been a tough place to be, and we will help you out every way we can here at National Cannabis Radio.
And from the category of wow, a U.S. Navy aircraft carrier group recovered 10 tons of marijuana that was dumped from small boats in the Pacific Ocean. The Navy is reporting that this weekend, two single-engine boats that were both about 20 feet long were spotted on the waters near the California's border with Mexico. People aboard the boats began dumping plastic bags over the sides of the boats, but were able to escape before the authorities got there. The two boats were spotted about 15 hours apart from each other, but authorities think that they were associated together in some way. Although no one was captured or arrested, the Navy recovered about 4 tons of marijuana from the first boat and over 6 tons from the second boat. It was a big deal, not just the amount of marijuana seized, but because both the aircraft carrier, the USS Nimitz, and the cruiser, USS Princeton, were both assisted by the U.S. Coast Guard and the Mexican Navy as well. All that weed is scheduled for destruction later this week.
Scheduled at Ganja John's house, I understand. No.
We wish.
10 tons of square groupers, huh? Washing it. Wow, that's pretty amazing. And the U.S. Navy involved in it as well. Sounds like all of our all of the training that we've given these sailors and all this taxpayer money that we've spent for the Navy has gone to good use. Collecting bales of floating weed.
I want to know how many guys, well, kids really on that ship just go, fuck, I hate my job, man.
Oh, look at all that. Having to destroy it. When you're on the assignment to destroy the square groupers, you always want to be in the contingent that's standing downwind.
Yes.
That's where you definitely want to be on that assignment. Oh, you know, you never hear of the Navy picking up any crates of whiskey, you know, rum floating in the water that had to be jettisoned by smugglers. You never hear.
If they do, they dispose of it quickly.
Yeah, they do. Exactly. Again, just the things that happen in a prohibition market, this is always going to happen. And the more, you know, 10 tons, we hear this 10 ton story, we go, oh my God, 10 tons of weed. But in the global marketplace, we're talking about literally a drop in the ocean, pardon the pun, but yeah, it's really not accomplishing anything. It's wasting time. It's wasting the time of our sailors out there that are helping to patrol this, involving two countries' navies, for God's sake, to deal with floating bags of vegetable matter that wouldn't be floating if there were a legal market, because nobody would buy. Well, I guess maybe you could transport some of it by ocean or by other waterways, but really, in a legal market, this would not be an issue. We'd not be even hearing about this story. It's always weird when we have to cover this stuff. But it does remind me, speaking of clumsy segues, of Bobby Tuna and his situation that he's dealing with. So we want to encourage everyone to check out thesilvertour.org, thesilvertour.org, and help Bobby Tuna. If you don't know him, that's where the term square grouper, that's what we're talking about here. The documentary out there, Square Grouper, is one third about him and how his Black Tuna gang helped to smuggle in the marijuana that your parents, or if you're older, you smoked in the 1970s. So we want to help him out. He's got a new probation officer giving him all sorts of threats, and he needs help to finish his Should Grandma Smoke Pot? It's a infomercial they're putting together for seniors to convince them to vote for marijuana legalization and decriminalization. So check out thesilvertour.org. Also, check us out coming up this weekend at the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup San Francisco. We will be there for 2 days of exclusive backstage coverage you can't get anywhere else. It's going to be a lot of fun. We got our own booth with National Cannabis Radio. The whole crew will be there. Ganja John, Wiz Calico, Cannabis Carry, Herb Thrasher, Brian the Red. Iva will even be there. Mrs. Radical will be there. So a whole crew will be there. We'll be doing a live show Friday of both Herb Thrasher and of our show, Russ Belville Show and Toker Talk Radio. Live shows coming to you from our headquarters there in the Bay Area. Then Saturday and Sunday, noon to 10 p.m., you'll have exclusive coverage, like I said, of High Times Medical Cannabis Cup, including interviews. We'll take looks at the different booths and vendors. We'll have the awards ceremony. We'll have the live music. We'll have all the stuff that you could ever want to see, except for the smell-o-vision. We haven't got the smell-o-vision figured out yet. One of these days, though, you'll even be able to smell the wonders of freedom. That's what we do here, is to bring you some freedom.
It's 420 back in Idaho, where Russ and Carrie were born. So we have to go connect with our roots. You know what I mean? Please support these sponsors who support the Russ Belville Show.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Michael Phelps, Olympic superstar, 14 gold medals, world record holder. Bomb smoker. So much for that amotivational syndrome. Music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting-edge genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everybody. It's time for our Daily Toker Tunes today. And Electric Tuesday, we play the best electronica, electronic dance music, experimental kind of stuff. And today we're going to turn things over to Wiz Khalifa, who's pulling up something. Sounds pretty cool to me, actually.
Yeah, well, you know, there's this guy named Skrillex who's all over the electronic music scene. And there's this group called Pimpinel who is trying to get onto the Vans Warped Tour. I don't think they made it, but as a video submission, they put out this video of them covering Skrillex's song. So obviously Skrillex is one dude with, you know, some
computer guy,
he's a computer guy, and like makes beats and goes to these clubs and plays them to all these dancing.
He's an Ableton Live user, is what he's trying to say. Is he does all his music live on his Apple.
There you go.
Nothing else. Yeah.
Okay. There you go. Thank you. Yeah. So this band is going to do a cover of this song, but with instruments. So the lead singer plays the guitar, and then, you know, they have some synths, some keyboardists, they have a bassist who has this thumb ring. So really, like, the song we're going to play today, you have to check out on YouTube, because what makes it so interesting is watching them play it live. But their bassist has this, like, thumb ring that basically allows him to make the womp, 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 womp sound mm-hmm. of dubstep. But it's, like, almost like a modern-day theremin. I don't know, there's, like, a sensor that he uses, and the movement of his hand changes, you know, the womp. So it's super interesting. You guys got to check them out. They're called Pin Panel comes from the words pin panel, being made to sound like a human name. Pin Panel refers to the face of a pachinko game machine, which is like an old Japanese arcade and like a gambling machine. And it says that it refers to the face of a pachinko game machine. And to us, the act of turning those words into a human name relates to how people turn to technology and other artificial things for comfort or for love. Oh. So this is Pin Panel with their cover of Skrillex's Scary Monsters and Nice Sprites. If you guys like what you heard, be sure to check them out on YouTube, Pin Panel, as well as on Facebook. This is Pin Panel with their cover of Skrillex's Scary Monsters and Nice Sprites.
good Electric Tuesday music there from Pimpinel. For all the downloads, check out music.radicalrus.com. We'll be right back with John Payne from Show Me Cannabis Regulation. Stick around. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show here on National Cannabis Radio.
Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Attention, National Cannabis Radio listeners. If you haven't heard the political pontifications of Lively and Mr. Libra on the Libra Lounge yet, be sure to visit here Wednesday nights at 6 Pacific or visit thelibralounge.com for archives and links to download current episodes. Be a lounger.
The Libra Lounge.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, everybody. We are a part of National Cannabis Coalition, and today during our debut week, we're having what we call National Cannabis Coalition Week, and joining us today as a big part of the coalition from the state of Missouri, John Payne is with us from Show Me Cannabis Regulation. John, can you hear us okay?
Yeah, just fine. Russ, how are you?
Doing fantastic, and how are things out in Missouri today?
Very hot, but other than that, good.
Oh, we could trade you. We got a lot of rain out here, but we'll get to that later. Right now, let's get to the legalization, because we hear that there are all sorts of great things going on. And, you know, people, when they think of marijuana legalization, they think of the West. They think of West Coast, California, Oregon, Washington, Colorado. But there's some amazing things going on in Missouri, and I'd like you to give our audience a little taste of what's happening in the Show Me State.
All right. Well, so this year we tried to get a ballot initiative for statewide on the ballot that would have regulated marijuana like alcohol, similar to what they're trying to do out in Colorado right now.
Sure.
And we did not make it on the ballot, but we had a relatively short period of time to do it, and we gathered about 65,000 signatures out of the 150,000 that we would have needed, and we did that pretty much all on volunteers. Mm-hmm. We had very little in the way of large funding, so we didn't hire really any professional signature gatherers. So we still have, you know, about 1,000 volunteers out there who are ready and willing to work. So we have an active organization, and we are planning now to move forward with a local decriminalization measure in Springfield, Missouri, which is the third largest city in Missouri, behind Kansas City and St. Louis.
Sure. And state capital, isn't it?
No, the state capital is Jeff City. But,
I'm thinking
Jefferson
Springfield.
City,
but, there's another Springfield.
Springfield
that's the state capital.
It is a pretty major city in the state. It's where Missouri State University is located.
That's right.
So it's a pretty important city for the state of Missouri. And it's also a city that would get the attention of the political establishment in Missouri, because it's often thought of as a very conservative city. Mm-hmm. In the state. The congressional district that it's in is reliably Republican. But it's also settled in the Ozarks, which people may be conservative down there, but they're sort of conservative often in a libertarian kind of way.
Sure.
So the county that Springfield's in, for instance, was won by Ron Paul in the Republican caucuses down there. So definitely even the conservatives there are sympathetic to what we're trying to do.
Do you feel that with major funding, that getting, now that you've got this volunteer base that's been built up, that now it's just a major funding source away from legitimately making the ballot in Missouri?
Oh, definitely. I think, we've laid a lot of the groundwork. And, you know, there's so much of the hard work of anything is just getting an activist base out there. Mm-hmm. And there were, before Show Me Cannabis regulations started up, there were certainly, you know, cannabis activists in the state of Missouri. I myself have been working on this issue pretty steadily since my entire adult life, basically since I started at Washington University in St. Louis, their SSDP chapter back in 2001. You know, it was pretty spread out. So there would be, you know, normal chapters in St. Louis, Kansas City, and Springfield, and Joplin. And that was pretty much it. And, you know, they not a whole lot was going on. And so now, you know, Missouri actually has an actual, you know, cannabis movement, mm-hmm. Which, you know, before Show Me Cannabis regulations started up, it definitely did not. And now there's actually a band of activists that's really trying to get something done. And so that's one of the biggest hurdles to clear right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, there have been successes in Missouri as well, going back to a few citywide measures for lowest priority, I believe. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, back in 2004, a group of people in Columbia passed a decriminalization lowest priority initiative, as well as a separate medical initiative that allows for a medical defense. So, you know, if you have a medical card from, say, Portland or Oregon or California, and you live in Columbia, Missouri, then the police there do not they respect that. They respect that that card. Mm-hmm. And so that was passed back in 2004. And even though George W. Bush carried the Boone County, which is the county that Columbia, Missouri is in, he carried that county by a little bit, but Columbia passed the decriminalization initiative by 61% to 39%. So definitely more popularity for that than a lot of people had expected.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with John Payne from Show Me Cannabis Regulation, also with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can find out more about the coalition at ncc420.com. For Show Me Cannabis Regulation, how can people get in touch with you guys?
Well, probably the easiest thing to do would be email me directly. It's john@show-me-cannabis.com. Or they can go to our website, showmecannabis.com. That's with a dash or without, doesn't really matter. If you go there, we are in need of donations to help us fund the Springfield Initiative, so I would highly encourage anyone out there listening that's interested in helping us out to go and donate. No amount is too small and no amount is too large. So those are the best ways to get in touch with the organization.
Yeah. And as far as the support goes, you know, I had a chance in my work with Normal to visit Missouri. I got to visit Joplin and I got to visit Columbia. And the activism base was fantastic. I remember counting six different Normal chapters from three different states when I was at the Cannabis Revival, I believe it was. And so as far as the people there in Missouri, you know, as far as say we got all the money we need to put these things on the ballot, do you have polling or focus groups or anything that tell us how this would turn out if we could just get it in front of the people?
For the Springfield Initiative specifically, we actually do have focus groups that we conducted. It was conducted before the statewide initiative, but we believe that it should carry over. Every single person, we had a focus group of, I believe, 10 people there in Springfield, and every single person in Springfield thought that it would be a good idea to regulate marijuana like alcohol. There was not a single voice of, prohibitionist voice on there. And we had older people, conservative people on there. But even the conservative people said, I think it's a waste of money. And it's, why are we wasting our time on something like this when we could be out, you know, pursuing people who rob houses or something like that. So we have good evidence that the people of Springfield are very much, with us on this one.
Mm. Excellent. Well, we want to get them all to showmecannabis.com. It's .com, right?
Yeah, yes, .com.
Okay, showmecannabis.com so they can get involved with that. And like we said, we got an activist base there. We've got the well-written language. We've got a populace that's ready for this kind of change. So we need to get now the big donors to recognize that we can make strides in a place like Missouri, that it isn't all just West Coast states that we, and believe me, if we were to make a big splash in a place like Missouri, how much more that would energize the rest of the country than, oh yeah, California legalized. Of course they did, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think, you know, if Missouri goes, I think that's going to be something where a lot of people are just going to think, well, that's it. You know,
yeah,
this is kind
it's
of
all
over.
Now.
It's all over, but the screaming and shouting, because if you lose, if the prohibitionists lose Missouri, I mean, that means that they've lost sort of the bellwether, the sort of heartland state that you can reliably look to predict presidential elections and that sort of thing. So, so goes Missouri, often so goes the nation. Mm-hmm. So, if we win here, it does send a very powerful message to the whole country that this is not just an issue that is popular out on the West Coast or with liberals or something like that. It's an issue that should be that everyone in this country should take very seriously and consider changing our disastrous policies.
Hmm. You know, John, it's obvious to those of us that are working in the movement, you know, why we do it for all of the, you know, humanitarian reasons and the ecological reasons and the economic reasons that we could sit here and name. But almost always when I speak to activists, there was an event or something that catalyzed them and made them kind of go all in, if you will, on being an activist. Do you have such a moment in your background that where you said, yeah, I can't not stand up for this? Anything like that in your background?
I don't know if there was a single moment where it made me want to be an activist, but I've always been very politically involved, and I think you know, when I was a younger kid, I was actually very much a conservative Republican. I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh. It was kind of bad. I'm a little ashamed
Guilty.
To admit that now.
Me too.
But these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, when I got a little bit older, I will admit that, you know, I don't actually smoke cannabis now, but I did in the past. And the first time I did it, I realized that I had been lied to by a lot of people for a long time, because, you know, it clearly was not the boogeyman that it had been made out to me. I won the Dare essay contest in my class when I was in sixth grade. And so it was, I very much bought into all this stuff. And then when I found out it wasn't true, I was offended on a kind of moral level. And so I think that was a moment that I didn't necessarily know that I wanted to be an activist, but I knew that there was something deeply wrong with our political system, that they had, that they had prohibited something so innocuous. And it made me want to change those laws very, very badly.
Yeah. Just, you know, anybody who's a person of reason, logic, or compassion cannot evaluate honestly this war on a flower and the people that use it and not come to this conclusion that you have to speak out about it, because the more you learn about it, the more you see that it infects so much of our body politic. It infects, like I said, ecologically, economically, you know, as far as medicine, industrial, there's so many aspects that this affects. And we're glad we've got people like you, John Payne, that are working for this. Again, National Cannabis Coalition is a part of what John is working with. You can find us at ncc420.com or nationalcannabiscoalition.com. ShowMeCannabis.com in the state of Missouri to help them get it legalized right there in the Show Me state. And John, I want to thank you for being here on the Russ Belville Show. It's been a great time talking to you.
Hey, thank you very much, Russ. One last thing I want
sure.
to mention, that also if you are interested in donating, we do have a donor who is willing to match the amount of money that we raise over the next week or so. So you can double your impact by donating in the next couple days.
All right. Dollar match donor is out there for showmecannabis.com. If you really want to get it done, this would be the week to get it done. Any amount you donate can help, because whatever you donate, you're donating twice as much because we got a dollar donor. That's fantastic. John Payne, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Russ. Have a good one.
All right. When we come back, we'll have time for a little radical rant. We're going to take a look at the numbers coming in from the ballot initiatives in the state of Oregon, speaking of legalization, and what that bodes for our future come this November. I'm Radical Russ. We're going to be right back after this. Stick around. Light one up. We'll be right back.
Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, folks, the initiatives to legalize marijuana in the state of Oregon are on the ropes. This is not the kind of news I like to deliver, but it does give me a whole hell of a lot to rant about. This is on the heels of my report last week. Here in the state of Oregon, we had an early signature turn in, and they evaluate the validity of those signatures that are turned in. And then there's a final turn in, and that happens on July 6th. So we're just a few, you know, like 18 or so days away from that turn-in, less than 3 weeks to make the ballot, and it does not look good here in the state of Oregon. The Oregon Marijuana Policy Initiative, this is I-24 at endprohibitionagain.com, just received its report from the Secretary of State's office. And just a little programming note, we'll have Adam Smith from the Oregon Marijuana Policy Initiative joining us on Thursday's show to tell us a little bit more about this. But the basic numbers are in, and again, they don't look good for us right now, in that we have 122,000 signatures that were turned in, a little more than 122,000. There were about 4,000 of them that were rejected right at the get-go, and that left almost 118,000 signatures to be reviewed. Of the 118,000 signatures that were reviewed, only 63,000 of them turned out valid, close to 64,000 turned out valid for a validity rate of 54.1%. 54.1%. But if you compare it to the total number they turned in, it's actually lower than that. It's 52.15%. So almost half of the signatures turned in to try to get marijuana constitutional amendment on the ballot turned out to be invalid. Now, this follows up with the OCTA, which was the statutory initiative. We got two initiatives, the OMPI constitutional amendment. It requires a whole lot more signatures. It requires 116,000. So out of the 116,000, they got 63,000 so far. That's 55% of the total signatures they need. So in the following 6 weeks, they need to collect enough signatures, valid signatures, to be able to get on the ballot. They'd need a whole hell of a lot. OCTA, the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act, is a statutory initiative, and it only needs 87,000 signatures to make the ballot. It turned in 107,000, but about 12,000 were rejected, and 55,800 turned out to be valid, so their turn-in validity was about 51.73% or so. So both of them, OCTA and OMPI, both end up turning in signatures, and both, out of the total number they turned in, end up with about 52% validity. Now, in these signature gathering campaigns, 60% is what you're aiming for. You know, when you got professional signature gatherers and you are trying to pass an initiative, generally you want to have about 60% of the signatures turn out right. So whatever your number is, the hurdle you have to clear, the bar you have to clear, you aim for 60% more than that. So in the case of OMPI, 122,000 or 116,000 they need to get on the ballot, well, you really want to go for about 180,000. In the case of OCTA, they need 87,000. You really want to go for about 150,000. Okay? So both of them are woefully short of where they need to be able to make the ballot. The OCTA needs 31,000 more signatures. OMPI needs 52,000 more signatures. And based on the fact they've turned in at 52% validity, do the math on that, and they really need about 60,000 signatures for OCTA and about 100,000 signatures for OMPI. So the chances, I'm afraid, are slim to none that Oregon will be voting on legalization. I hate to discourage people. There's still time. There's still time to collect, but it's going to have to be a whirlwind and a massive signature collection effort to be able to make the kind of dent that needs to be made. Now, there's things that can happen. We got the Waterfront Blues Festival. We got the whole Rose Festival thing that's been going on. There's been big, big crowds to solicit signatures from. So perhaps it can be done. I would love to be proved wrong, but it doesn't look good right now. It looks as though Oregon will not be voting on legalization. Now, why this is troublesome to me is because when you add these numbers together, if you add together 55,000 from OCTA and 63,000 from OMPI, you get about 118,000 signatures, valid signatures, which would be more than enough to qualify either one of them independently for the ballot. I know that's not entirely accurate because a lot of the people who signed OCTA will have also signed OMPI. But what this does point out is that there were 118,000 valid signatures collected. The time it takes, the effort it takes, the canvassing it takes to get that many signatures happened. It's just, it didn't happen on only one initiative. It happened on two. And like I had warned, and many people had warned, if we have two of these things going on at the same time, they're going to divide support, they're going to divide attention, they're going to divide the volunteer base, the paid signatures. It's going to lead to confusion. Maybe we've got this 52% validity turn in because people double signed. Hey, have you signed OCTA? Yeah. Hey, there's this new one out. Oh, there's a new one out. Yeah, it's called OCTA. Oh, yeah, let me sign that. Oops, you just invalidated a whole bunch of signatures by accidentally signing twice. I knew people who work in this movement, people that are involved, very well educated on this stuff, who couldn't remember which of the two they had signed and were afraid to sign again because they didn't want to invalidate the one that they hadn't signed or the one that they had already signed.
To our listeners who were listening the last hour, they were talking about Ray Crystal on Cannabis Common Sense. I had to run him down and pull a sheet away from him because I signed the wrong one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, there was nothing he could do. I invalidated four signatures, but it was better than invalidating, you know, another six.
Another six, exactly. And that's the way that this this thing works. And it just gets frustrating to when people are just hooked, they're just wed to this idea. They're married to this notion of one particular initiative or one particular crew running it or one particular organization backing it. And it becomes a matter of egos and a matter of pride over this particular thing or that particular thing. And it loses track of the fact or the true goal of this, which is we need to win. We need to legalize by winning and getting on the ballot with one of these things. What makes this more frustrating to me is the fact that in 2010, we did make the ballot. We made the ballot with Measure 74, which was the campaign to, once again, try to come up with some sort of dispensary system here in the state of Oregon. So it's very clear that we can do it, that our community, when it is organized around one thing, can get it on the ballot. Now, it didn't succeed. The dispensary measure went down with 42%, about the same as it did in 2004 when they tried it. But at least it made the ballot. You know, at least it got up to the plate. We're not even getting up to the plate to bat this year. We're going to be like California, sitting on the bench, watching while Washington and Colorado are voting on legalization. And it just is very frustrating to me to know that Oregon is the first state to pass decriminalization in 1973. And that we have such a willing population here, even the conservatives in this state that really don't like pot or potheads, don't like it from more of a cultural standpoint than that they're afraid of any danger from it. It's really like, damn hippies. It's more that than it is worried that the sky's going to fall if we were to regulate or legalize marijuana. And in this state, where we have no sales tax and the property taxes are through the roof, and where we're shutting down schools and cutting all sorts of, first responder stuff and cutting, health care for kids and all these other different aspects of our budget. When we're trying to balance the budget for health care and clean water by doubling the fees for medical marijuana, it seems clear that this state is ready, willing, and able to have a regulated marijuana system and to be able to pull in money from that and to be able to help our kids and our seniors and to lower the tax burden on our property owners even. Everybody's ready and willing to do this except for the fact that it doesn't make the ballot. The legislature's not going to put it through. The legislature's not going to put it on the ballot. I don't see that happening. It's up to us. And to have this effort, to have all the people I know who have worked so hard for so long on one version of OCTA or the other that has been floated over the past however many years or decades at this point. And now the people that have come in with OMPI and are very, you know, professional and well organized to get their thing going as well. But again, how do we get everybody on one thing? And how do we get it to happen when it's not the dispensary thing, when it's not the medical marijuana thing? I think that part of this, too, can be laid at the feet of some medical marijuana supporters who continue to have that narrow focus on just medical marijuana, who continue to think that medical is a different issue than legalization. And it's not. They're not different issues. Just because you're sick or disabled does not mean that your use of marijuana is any more valid or moral than my use of cannabis, marijuana, hemp, whatever you want to call it, ganja. We all have this right. And the reason that patients suffer any of the indignities or problems in the program they're suffering now has to do with the fact that it's illegal for most of us who aren't patients. The reason medicine costs what it costs for patients is because pot costs what it costs for non-patients. These two markets are inseparable. We need to convince medical marijuana supporters that what they've been given is half a loaf, that what they've been given is second-class citizenship. They've been given the special medical marijuana drinking fountains that they can drink from, but they still have to deal with the no medical marijuana patients need apply signs. They still have to deal with the red-lined, or shall we call them green-lined neighborhoods where they can and can't live, where they can and can't grow. In Oregon, I really believe that we are going to have to show the medical community that legalization is their next issue. Not trying to get dispensaries, not trying to add conditions, not any of this tinkering around the edges of what we're allowing medical patients to do. Because I'll tell you, the Oregon legislature is all set and law enforcement's ready to back them on reducing the number of patients and making it more strict to get on the program and more regulated and more surveilled to be on the program. They've seen the results in Montana, where the patient rolls have gone down from 31,000 to 8,000, where the providers have gone down to from 4,000 to 400. They've seen the results of putting in new restrictions and raising fees and how that has reduced the patient rolls. And you've already seen them raise the fees here in the state of Oregon. You've seen them double the fees or quintuple the fees if you were previously on food stamps, getting that reduced bonus or benefit. So you will see this a continuation of all of these.
Times are tough nowadays.
Sorry about that. You will see a continuation of all of these forces combined together to try to reduce the amount of people that are on the Oregon medical marijuana program. And that's going to continue to happen until we get it legal for everyone. So long as they can continue to keep it as a separate program, as an exception to the criminal laws, then they can do all sorts of things to that exception. But once it becomes a right for all of us, once it becomes legal for all of us, it's no longer an exception that can be restricted. It's now a right that has to be granted and recognized. And so that's the fight that needs to be brought to the medical marijuana community. And that's what we need to do looking forward here in the state of Oregon. Now, again, although it's kind of some gloomy news on these return numbers, there is still time. We've had since May 25th, they've still been gathering signatures. There's been major events that have been happening and all sorts of signature gatherers out there working. So there is still hope. And if you can, you can volunteer with them. CannabisTaxAct.org, EndProhibitionAgain.com. But it's tough to have to deliver this news.
Violet light.
It's tough to have to deliver this news. So we will keep you up on this and try to try to give you better news in the future. Unfortunately, we're just at the point now where it looks like Oregon's in pretty sad shape. We'll talk with Adam Smith about this on Thursday, get his perspective on this. Maybe he's got some inside information that we don't know about, and that might help us out in the future. So thanks for joining us here. We are going to take it into hour two here in Toker Talk Radio. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. Be hanging out with Cannabis Carrie, Wiz Kaliko, and Ganja John. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
Is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.